In Job chapter number 9, we'll look at just two verses real quick. And Job chapter number 9, by now I hope you have found it. And look at verse number 32, and this is what it says. Job says, "For he is not a man, as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment." Now here's our verse 33. "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both." Notice what he said. He said, "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you would help us this morning. Lord, we are just blessed beyond measure that you would even wake us up this morning and allow us to be into this place, gathered with God's people. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us for the next few minutes, get that we need. Lord, help us to say the things we need to say. Help us not to say the things we don't need to say. And Lord, we'll give you the honor and glory for everything, for you're worthy. And we praise your name this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. I hear people talk sometime about how saved they are. And since they've been saved, they've never had any troubles. They've never had any problems. And they give the impression that every time they pray, they ring the bells of heaven and the angels stand at attention. And they brag about never getting discouraged and never having any problems. But I got news for you, that's baloney, and that ain't even good baloney. I don't believe a word of it. A lot of us here from the pulpits of America today, a social prosperity gospel which says, if you're right with God, you'll never have a headache. All your bills will be paid. You'll have three Cadillacs, a three-story house, and everything, all your family members will be well, and everything will be hunky-dory. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the furthest thing from the truth. Being saved is a wonderful thing. Being separated is a wonderful thing. Being a soul winner is a wonderful thing. But none of these things will exempt you from the storms and the trials of life. You can be saved, be right with God, and still get in the biggest mess you've ever been into in your life. Somebody say amen right there. In Job's night of despair, we find that Job has done hit rock bottom. Have you ever been there? If ever was a man who knew what trouble was, what trials were, what problems were, this man Job knew all about it. Job goes to bed one night having the world by the tail, and by morning the world has got him by the throat. In 24 hours, Job has lost everything that he's ever had. He's lost his family. He's lost his kids. He's lost his business. He's lost his home. He's lost financial support. He's lost it all within a 24-hour period. Here we see disaster takes Job's fortune. Death takes Job's family. The devil takes Job's faith, and disease takes Job's flesh. Then Job has three wonderful friends that come by. Now, Job, what are you doing in this mess? You must be out of the will of God for God to do this to you. You ever had a friend like that? I mean a friend that's going to kick you when you're down. Now, maybe y'all don't have friends like that, but I've experienced a few in my lifetime. I mean friends that will come around and say, "Hey, if you was living right, you wouldn't be going through all of this." But Job answered them and said this, "I know my Redeemer liveth." You can say what you want to. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. And in Job's despair, I love what he said. He said, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. In our text, Job is at a place where he feels like God is a million miles away. You ever felt that? Job is an upright man. Job is a saved man. Job is a church-going man. Job is a soul winner. Job is a man that fears God. And he feels in this particular place, he feels like God is a million miles away. And every time he prays, it's like knocking on a brass door and he can't get any higher than the carpet. Have you ever been there? In our text, Job says, if I just had somebody, if I just had somebody that could put his hand, if I just had somebody that could get a hold of God with one hand and get me in the other hand and bring us together. Well, let me get over on the Pentecostal side. If when I'm down and I'm depressed and I can't go any further, I'm looking for somebody that can get a hold of God and get my hand and bring us together. Job says, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand on both of us. Now, that word daysman, let me say this, that word daysman is an Old Testament word to mean to arbitrate, troubleshooter. You ever had a trouble with your computer and you call the troubleshooting hotline and you get somebody that can't speak English? Hallelujah. There's supposed to be a troubleshooter. There's supposed to be somebody that can bridge the gap between the computer or you and the computer, and they're supposed to be able to bring you together. To stand in the gap, an attorney is a daysman. Somebody that stands between you and the judge. A mediator. That somebody that mediates and can, you say, who is a daysman? Who can be a daysman in the Old Testament? I'll tell you. When two people had a disagreement, when two people had a disagreement and they had a falling out, they would call for a daysman. And this daysman, number one, had to be qualified. This daysman had to know both parties very well. This daysman had to be able to know both parties and to make amends one with another. Somebody that knows all about me and knows all about God at the same time. Job said, I just need somebody. I need somebody to lay his hand on me and put his other hand on God and get us together. God, a million miles away. Now, that daysman is an Old Testament term. In the New Testament, that word is intercession. The word intercession means seeking the presence and hearing of God on behalf of another. Somebody that can get a hold of God, get the ear of God, get the audience of God on behalf of somebody else. Oh, mercy me. I'm almost enjoying my own preaching. Somebody that can lift a burden out of one heart and get the answer to that burden out of the other heart. Somebody that can get a doubt out of my heart and get the assurance out of the other heart. This intercession is you interstate. An interstate bridges two states together. Interstate, intercession, mediator, bringing two parties together. Job says, where can I find such a one? Where can I find somebody? Well, I found somebody in Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Have you ever been saved to the uttermost? A good title of a sermon, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Saved to the uttermost that come unto God by Him seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Isn't that good? The Hebrew writer says, I found somebody. Job might not have found somebody in the Old Testament, but here comes somebody in the New Testament, born in Bethlehem's manger, born the sinless Son of God, walked this earth 33 and a half years, went to the cross of Calvary, stretched out his arms, and with one hand got a hold of God, and with the other hand got a hold of me. And as Psalm 40 says, He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet on a solid rock and established my goings. Where can I find such a one? Well, I found him in a Savior that lives. There is a Savior that lives. Somebody that can bridge the gap. Somebody that can plead my case. Somebody that can pray for me. You say, well, does Jesus, the mediator, does he do a pretty good job? Well, I'm still saved, ain't I? You're still saved, ain't you? Well, he's doing a pretty good job. Let's say that you and I had a disagreement. You and I got into something really bad between us. And we broke the law, and by the way, all of us have. And one party is upset and the other party is brokenhearted, and so what they would do, they would call for a daysman, somebody that knew both parties and wouldn't be biased for one side or the other. They knew both parties, but they could come in and fix the situation, bridge the gap. They could arbitrate, they could troubleshoot and bring two parties which were at odds and bring them together. Two parties that were enemies within itself, and now they're friends. Bring two parties that are 100 miles away and bring them to where they're close. Somebody like that in a Savior that lives. I think the Bible says something like this: for there is one God, y'all believe that? And one mediator between God and men. Who is he? The man, Christ Jesus. A mediator, a daysman, a intercessor, somebody that knows both parties. Knows both parties pretty good. I mean, one party knows God very well because he is God. And one that knows me very, very well and how sorry and low down I am because he created me. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, I found another verse in Hebrews chapter number 8 and verse number 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. The Old Testament had an old covenant. But he, Jesus Christ, is the mediator of a new, a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Can I say this? In the Old Testament, they had daysmen. And when the tabernacle came into existence, the Old Testament tabernacle, just anybody. Y'all just couldn't come in like you did today and just sit down. You couldn't do that in the Old Testament. You couldn't just come in and have church like we're doing today in the Old Testament. You had to go through somebody. And that somebody was the high priest. And that high priest would meet you at that door, and he would get that sacrifice, and he would sprinkle that sacrifice or kill that sacrifice on that brazen altar, and then he would go through all the steps. And I ain't got time to go all through all of that. And then he would go back behind that curtain. He would go back behind that curtain, and there was a mercy seat. There was an Ark of the Covenant, where those two cherubims are looking at each other, looking down on the mercy seat. And this high priest would take that blood and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat on behalf of the nation of Israel. Well, aren't y'all glad we don't have to do that today? Man, I would have to be doing... Y'all, I don't know how many people's here this morning, but that'd be a lot of stuff to do. And did you know what Hebrews over there says? Hebrews says that guy right there could never say, I am. Because the job was never finished. By the time he got one, he'd have to go back there and meet somebody else at the door. By the time he got that, he'd go meet somebody. The job was never. There are no seats. There are no chairs in the tabernacle. Why? There's no time to be sitting down. But when the heavenly daysman came to my rescue, he became my high priest. And when he died on the cross, he closed his eyes in death. They put his body in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, but he took the blood that was shed on the cross back up to heaven on the mercy seat in heaven, and he sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And then y'all know what he did? Jesus, the high priest, when he got done, y'all with me? The Bible says he sat down. Why? Because it's done. It's finished. He won't never have to die on the cross again. He's through. And when he got finished, he sat down at the right hand of God, interceding for me and for you. Boy, I'm glad I've got somebody in a Savior that lives. I've got somebody that can bridge the gap and bring us together. But number two, I found somebody else. I found somebody else. You won't believe who I found in Romans chapter number 8. I found somebody in Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the who? The Spirit. And Spirit is capitalized. Also helpeth our infirmities. Y'all ever had any infirmities? And the Holy Spirit helpeth you. You say, what's that ETH? That's that old Elizabethan English. Well, it has a whole lot deeper meaning than that. If I just said, I'm going to help you, you don't know if I'm going to help you tomorrow, yesterday, or I done helped you. But if I say, I'm helpeth you, that ETH means it's an ongoing thing that never... Help us means it's an ongoing help that never stops. I could say, yeah, I'm going to come help you. And you don't know when I'm going to show up. You don't know if I'm going to show up. You don't know when I'm going to show up or if I'm going to show up or how long it's going to take. But when the Spirit says, help us, that means He's been helping. He's helping right now and He's going to help tomorrow. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Y'all ever been there? But the Spirit itself maketh what? There's our word. Intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Not only do I have somebody in a Savior that lives, but I've got somebody in a Spirit that leads. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved in right here. He moved in. Now remember what I told you. I told you that a mediator, a arbitrator, a daysman has to know both parties. Where did I just tell y'all Jesus was? He's seated at the right hand of God interceding for you. Well, down here on this earth, hey, that's a long way up there. I can't reach. So when I got saved, the Holy Spirit came in here. And He lives in here, and He knows me, because He lives with me. And He knows Him, because that's where He come from. He knows both parties really well. Job was in a situation to where he got to where he lost everything, and when he lost everything, it was almost like getting down to the altar and he couldn't pray. The words wouldn't come. You ever been there? All he could do is say, oh God, Jesus help me. Lord, here I am.
God, help me. Lord, hear my cry. And that's all you can get out. You can't pray.
People say, well, you got to pray this old, oh God, the creator of heaven and earth.
He likes plain language.
Oh God, help me. You'll get a big response from that.
Because what happens is, that verse says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray.
Remember, I told you, we don't know what to pray.
We didn't cry at all. We can cry. We don't know what else to pray. And so the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us. So that means this. The Holy Spirit, I'm down here at the altar going, Lord, help me. The Holy Spirit goes up to the third heaven and says, let me tell you what he's trying to say. Let me translate with groanings that cannot be uttered. The groanings ain't on your end. The groanings are on him. He says, let me tell you what he's trying to say. Let me tell you what he's trying to say. And the Holy Spirit gets you in one hand. And he bridges the gap with God and says, this is what Tommy needs. I live with him every day. He may not can pray for himself, but I know what he... God, there you go. Now, there ought to be some better shouting right now going on. But I got somebody in a Savior that lives. I got somebody in a Spirit that leads. He leads me. You know, I used to, this has been several years ago when I was in Jackson. I worked for a judge there. And, you know, I would meet them out at the car and before they would come up the back steps of the courtroom. And it was my job to run interference because a lot of people, everybody, when they get in trouble, let me just call a judge. I know him real good. I'm going to go out there and we'll talk about it. You can't do that. You can't do that. And so some people would meet, they would know where he would park. And they would meet back there, and my job, here they'd come. As soon as he'd pull in, they'd get out of their car. Here they'd come. Usually got like this. And it was my job to step in between and run interference. Hey, let me talk to you a minute. I got to talk. And by that time, me cutting up a conversation with them, the judge had time to get up, get behind the door, all that. You with me? Run interference. Now, sometimes I would do that, and I'd say, hey, let me talk to you a minute. And the judge would say, oh, but Jeremy, it's okay. I need to talk to him. It's okay. We're talking about something totally different. And I'd step aside, and they would come together and talk. Now, the Holy Spirit's supposed to be running interference for you. When the devil comes trying to get in your way, the Holy Spirit says, hey, hang on. Ho. You know what sometimes we do? Holy Spirit, it's okay. I'd like to talk to him. Holy Spirit, it's all right. I want to hear what he's got to say. Now, look. Now, you say, well, you can't tell. Hey, the Holy Spirit ain't going to make you do anything you don't want to do. And sometimes, but he will be on interference for you if you will let him do his job. I got somebody in a Savior that lives. I got somebody in the Spirit that leads. But number three, I found somebody else. I found somebody else. And I found them over there in 1 Timothy, chapter number 2. And this is what Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers and what? Intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now watch. That ain't the Savior making intercession. That ain't the Spirit making intercession. That's the saints making intercession. That ain't the Savior. That ain't the Spirit. That's the saints. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, I have somebody in a Savior that lives. I have somebody in a Spirit that leads. But I have somebody in saints that labor. Did you know when I can't pray for myself, I need y'all to pray for me. I need y'all to get a hold of God on my behalf. Sometimes I come in here, and if it's, nobody's in here, a lot of times, and I'll just walk down through here, and I'll pray. I'll pray for Charlie and Phyllis and all the. Now I hesitated to tell y'all that because sometimes y'all change seats, and y'all won't change seats if y'all think I'll forget where y'all sit. You can sit anywhere you want to, I promise. And I just go through there and say, hey, I'm trying to get a hold of God on your behalf. You know, let me say this. There's nobody like the Savior and the Spirit that intercedes for us. But I'm going to tell you, we need the saints. One of the darkest days of my life. There's been several. One of the darkest days of my life is up there in that Memphis hospital watching my dad take his last breath. Darkest day. I'm sitting over in the... And when I get like that, I get all quiet. I want to be, you know, I just... Some of them asked me to pray. I couldn't even pray. How do you pray? My sister stepped up and did a good job. Hallelujah. But I couldn't say nothing. Forgive me. I couldn't say nothing. And then all of a sudden, the phone starts ringing. The phone starts ringing. Hey, Brother Jeremy. We just heard the news. Just want you to know, we're praying for you. That helps. That helps. You say, what can I do? I can't do nothing. Oh, you don't know what that does. You know, when we walk out and listen, I'm not, don't take this the wrong way, but every preacher wants to hear, boy, you did a good job today. Boy, that was a good sermon. That's human nature to want to hear that. But you know what's better than that? Walk out and say, I prayed for you this week. I got a hold of God for you this week. I talked to Him on your behalf today. Listen, folks, we need everybody in this room to pray for one another. In a day and age when we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow, and we know He holds our hand. We got to have the saints. We got to get a place to where we can have a prayer closet to where we can get a hold of God on behalf of our church, on behalf of other people that are hurting, people that are sick, people that are facing all kinds of things. God, I don't even know where they're at right now. I just want to get a hold of you and see if I can bring them together. I'm closing, but in Genesis 15, you don't have to go there, but Genesis 15, God made a covenant with Abraham, and this is what He said. In Genesis 15, about 21, 22 verses long in there. It's a long read, but it's worth the read sometime. And God made a covenant with Abraham, and He said, Abraham, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take animals, and I want you to cut them in halves, and cut those animals in half, and put part of the animal over here and part of the animal here and make us a walkway in between. And Abraham, I'm coming down there. And me and you going to hold hands and walk between the pieces. You ever heard the phrase, cut a deal? That come from the Bible. Cut a deal. Where God says, Abraham, we fix to cut a deal. And what they would do in the Old Testament, if they had a disagreement or something, they would cut an animal and put them in separate pieces like this and make a walkway. And the two people would walk between the hand in hand, and they would make a covenant between each other. And what they were saying is this. Watch this. I'm closing. That's what they were saying.
They said, if either one of us break this covenant, let us be torn asunder like these animals. Let us be cut asunder like these animals. It was almost like saying, I swear. Putting your hand on the Bible and say, I swear. Oh, you don't want to break that. You know. Be careful. Be very careful. This is a side note. Be very careful about it. I swear to God. Be careful about that. That's almost on the verge of taking his name in vain, because you know good and well you can't keep your end of the deal. But I got, watch this, hang on. That's what they were saying. We're going to hold hands through here, and if either one of us break this deal, let us be cut asunder like this animal. But in Genesis 15, only God made the agreement. He knew Abraham couldn't keep his end. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. If I break my promise, let me be torn asunder like these animals. Abraham probably was fixing to get ready to say his and say, Lord, if I... And God says, Abraham, don't even say it. Let me say it. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, on the cross of Calvary, there were three sacrifices. There was one on the right and one on the left. And the sacrifice in the middle is wanting you to walk between the two sacrifices. And one day, as a 10-year-old boy, I grabbed a hold of that man's hand hanging in the middle. And we walked between the two sacrifices. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? The only thing that'll bridge the gap between God and man is the cross of Calvary. He's our mediator. He's the Savior that lives. I have a spirit that leads. And I got all of y'all, saints, that'll labor. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray right now, I don't know. There may be somebody here like Job, just can't get the words out of their mouth. All they can do is say, oh God. Oh God, help me. Lord, if they don't know you as their personal Savior, I pray they'd know you today. Lord, if there's somebody in the room right now that has somebody on their mind that they need to get a hold of you on their behalf, I pray, Lord, they'd come to this altar and, Lord, get a hold of you on their behalf. Intercede for them. Be a daysman. Be an arbitrator. Be a troubleshooter between the parties. God, I pray that you'd help. In Jesus' name, won't you stand all over the building? Won't you come? Anybody want to come and pray about anything? Say, preacher, I just need to get a hold of, I need to get a hold of God on somebody's behalf. Well, come on. Come on and pray. There's some more coming. How about you? Who else is coming? Just getting a hold of God on somebody's behalf. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. I'm glad I got somebody. I'm glad I got somebody. Have you got somebody? Thank you.